Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. This week's scripture ties into what we talked about because of the importance of having like-minded friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." We extend a heartfelt thanks to Tony Financial Services for providing this week's scripture of the week.
Yeah, and Tony Financial Services is a trusted wealth management firm that specializes in biblical financial principles and biblically responsible investing. They're proud members of the Kingdom Advisory Network, and that's a big deal to get cleared through that. And I've known Jamie for over 20 years too, so the character is spot on.
Yeah, and we're super grateful for their continued support and commitment to a faith-based stewardship. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. Today's part two.
Part two.
As we talk about the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah, just different ways to think about pursuing your spouse, having different hobbies, all the things that goes into making you the best version of a husband you can be, but very specific ways to grow and get better.
I was thinking, so with Joan and Nadine, when they got pretty serious and they started talking to us about the possibility of marriage and getting engaged.
How long into the relationship was it?
A good over a year. Over a year in the relationship.
Because you said the relationship has been about a year, so that's
yeah, it's been
it's pretty quick.
And so Jennifer and I paid for them to have professional premarital counseling.
Okay.
And so it's four 2-hour sessions once a month with homework and preparation. And so the idea, so many people come to me, they're already engaged, they're already planning on getting married, they already have a wedding day, and they want to do, you know, premarital counseling.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, it's kind of too late to decide if you're going to move forward or not, because you've got...
You've already been engaged. You're down the road a little ways.
You're already down the road. You've sent out the announcements.
Okay.
And so my thought is, pre-engagement counseling, all these things that we talked about in the previous episode, making sure you're on the right page is so important to talk about these things
beforehand.
Beforehand.
It makes it a lot easier than fighting the battles that you don't necessarily have to fight.
You're talking about your relationship with God. You're talking about your family upbringing.
I like you got a professional issues. And not you didn't do it because you're not.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I tell people. I can tell people what the Bible says, but like, this is a counselor he's been doing marriage and family counseling for 20 plus years. So he's seen every issue.
Thousands and thousands.
I love it because they had homework, they had books to read, they had discussion, and this guy lives up in the mountains in Ellijay. And they would drive it, a couple hours of drive up there. They're talking about these things that he does dinner with them. Have like this 2-hour, you know, discussion, he and his wife together. And then it's once a month for 4 months. And so, you know, we were talking about the scenario with your buddy, who he's at one page spiritually and his wife's another page. I think for those who are younger, before you get married, before you get engaged, I think going through this ahead of time and making sure that, hey, we're on the same page here. Of course, Christians should marry Christians.
Yep.
But I think it's even more than that. Like you want to marry someone who's running at the same speed you are spiritually. Like you're heading in the same direction. You're on the same page.
And I think that's easier said than done. That's not something that's, I think that you say that and you definitely want to accomplish that, but unless you're having conversations like they sat down and had, you don't really know. Mm-hmm. Like people have faith, people go to church. But when you start to become one, and now the decision making's together and parenting is together and like doing life is together, you know, now you're starting to make real decisions. You're not making real decisions when you're dating, and you're not making real decisions when you're not together in the same household, same bank account, like, and we're running in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So I think having those conversations and having expectations going in are, that's huge, man. And I would say this, I would also say that you should also, whatever stage you are in marriage, you're going to recalibrate these expectations, and you're going to recalibrate. Like, we've done a lot of recalibrating in the Pollock household. Okay. Like, we've done a lot of that lately and recently, and circumstances are going to change. Your role is going to change. I think one of the best advice I would give anybody, and I've said this before, but like, you know, you do that five love language. It's so important to know how your spouse feels love. Like whoever it is, like what's the most important way and the best way they feel love. Everybody feels love differently. So if you know that, it's huge. But here's another thing. 10 years into marriage, it's not the same person you married. Like they're changing. You're changing. Their body's changing. They're a parent. They're a mom. Like there's different things that are going on. So I think it's a constant pursuit. And these recalibrations and these meetings, they need to happen more than you think. And you can do it once a year. You know, but asking questions is such a great way with your spouse of like, what do you expect from me? What do you need from me? Like those are easy questions that if you ask, you'll get a good answer, you know, and then you can start to like fill the right tank, you know, like pour into the right love language as opposed to throwing a dart.
Yeah.
Because you throw a dart, good luck, bro. I mean.
Yeah, I think going back to the very beginning, and I want to go back to the beginning first, then I want to talk about something you just brought up, you know, 10 years in or this recalibration. But I think the idea of Christian marriage is first a man has a relationship with God. Let's take Nicholas for example, your son.
Yep.
As he's 17 years old. So first, your son or Nicholas or whoever, first you have a relationship with God. You go back to Adam and Eve. Like Adam first had a relationship with God.
Yep.
And then God comes to Adam and gives him his purpose in life, his mission in life to...
Because he was missing something.
To tend the garden.
Adam was missing something.
Well, he was, but you're
Sorry, I'm jumping. My bad.
His mission first, his purpose in life was to tend the garden, to take care of the garden, to rule the earth, and all of that. And then he gives him a helpmate to help him fulfill his mission in life. And so the idea of Christian marriage is Nicholas has a relationship with God. God's called him to a purpose in life, a mission in life. He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he wants.
Yeah, and then he's looking for someone who can help him fulfill that mission. And typically it's someone, they have a similar mission in life or similar purpose in life. And so I know this is an ideal scenario, but like I had my relationship with God. God had called me into ministry. I'm looking for someone who God has also called into ministry and has the same mission in life as I had. And God brought Jennifer into my life.
Yeah.
Now, not everyone can do that on the front end. And so, as you were saying, 10 years in, there's a recalibration.
Yeah.
And I remember like with you and Lindsay, y'all had to go through a difficult, hard time that force you to kind of
recalibrate,
reprioritize, like which direction are we going to go here? I mean, at that point, I think y'all been married maybe 10 years. I can't remember when I did y'all's.
Close.
We renewed.
Vow renewal was
14. 14. So now that's probably 20. More like, 10 or so.
Yeah.
But y'all had to kind of decide, okay, which way are we going here?
And he's underselling it. Like it was close to not being a marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, which is, again, I would want to share that for people to absolutely learn from. Like, what is our priorities were not we were not pursuing what we set out to pursue as a family. Like, we were both on the same page when we got married. You know, we both made vows. We were both virgins. God was priority number one. Like that. And then as we went through our marriage, like, we started to live, and then we started to just fall into groups and, you know, play sports. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're not going to church like you're supposed to. And we weren't in small group. We weren't pursuing God on the level that we said we wanted to. And that's what I think. That's something too. Like, I think we all want that, but are we pursuing it? Like, we all want a relationship with God. We all want a great church. You know what? I can't find it. No bull crap. Like, it might take some work. Like, it took us some work to fight. Like, you have to agree on music. You have to agree on the pastor, especially Pastor Jay. Like, you know, those are the things, like, you have to, it's a team experience. Yeah. And
children's ministry, student ministry.
All of it. Like, where do I want my kids?
Small group.
I've heard a lot of people like, where do my kids need to be? I've heard a lot of people say that. Like, mm-hmm. my kids need to be here, so this is where we're going to be. I think your marriage is important, mm-hmm. and it's more important than your kids. I want your kids to be, like, a healthy marriage. Pursuing God will do more for your kids than the right church. Right?
Sure.
Like, yeah. That's your example. And so I think that, you know, we had a decision, and we literally lost a lot of our friends that we were with. We went a totally different direction. We started hanging out with people in our area that was in Oconee that we went to church with. And we started to do life with them. And we started to create accountability. And we had small group. And we started to live differently and to live for the priority that we said we wanted to when we started. So you will lose your bearings sometimes. But you got to find a way to bring it back. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes you don't want to go through certain things. But you've got to find a way in the end to get it back.
And you become like the people you spend time with.
100%.
I know we said this.
But you need to hear it over and over again.
Podcast.
You hang out with somebody with a bad marriage, your marriage will suck.
Yeah, so you want to hang out with people who have good marriages. You want to hang out with people who are raising their kids how you want to raise your kids.
100%.
You know, and all of that. So,
and that's hard. I think that's easier probably for you than it is for the rest of the world. Like, you're the preacher, man. Like, people are going to show you what they want to show you most of the time and obviously hold back some. And I think for everyone else, it's a little bit more difficult because how do you know? Like, how do you know that's a real relationship? Like, I didn't know any different when I was younger. Like, I was hanging out with people that I thought they had a good relationship. I didn't know what to look for. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, and then as you get older, you start to realize, like, what does a real marriage look like? And you get around some marriages and you're like, okay, that's different. Like, that's unconditional love. Like, that is, they're not throwing their spouse under the bus. Like, they're meeting the needs of their spouse. Like, they're loving them differently. That looks different. And you'll know it when you see it. It's not normal. It's very abnormal. You think it's more normal because of where you, the realms you walk in. Everybody else is like, how do I find that? Like, I want to be around great people. I play sports with these people. I'm naturally associated with these people. Like, okay, but no, Pastor, I've been hanging out with this group for 10 years. I can't tell them I can't hang out with them anymore. Like, I'm going to break their heart. They're great friends. Like, those are tougher decisions than you think. Those are not, oh yeah, let's just do it. Screw y'all. I'm going to go over here. I mean, those are things that you've got to pray through. Like, you got to find people in your life that you can rely on, like pastors. But when you're in a marriage and you're really seeking to have a great marriage, like, you want to spend time with people that have great marriages. Because if they don't care about their marriage, they don't care about yours. They could give a crap whether you're successful or not. If they don't care enough about theirs, yours means absolutely nothing. Because we're all selfish, yeah. Self-centered. So, sorry, that was a tangent, but...
I know, it's a great tangent. And I think we come to these crossroads in life where, like, your career changed. Like you and Lindsay, y'all were on a different path. I mean, you were in the NFL, you're living in Cincinnati, and now you broke your neck. That career change, well, that completely changed y'all's lives. And I think anyone, when you have a career change, when you move, when all of us face different challenges and different crossroads in life. I remember when Jennifer and I were first getting started, one of our big struggles was we moved 8 times in 7 years of marriage. Like we were constantly.
That's a lot of moving.
That's
bro.
A lot of moving, a lot of starting over, a lot of because every time you Jennifer move, you're recalibrating.
Well, and Jennifer talked about that when she preached, and I thought it was great. Like she got to the point where she was like, "Forget, I don't want to make new friends. Like I'm just going to do this again because you did it to her so many times, or y'all did it together. Yeah, like it's hard.
I think that's a good example of different seasons of life. All couples go through these recalibrations or refocus or recommitment. I think moving, career change. I think one of our big struggles when we did move here to start Greystone Church. I mean, Greystone Church started in our living room. There was not a salary involved in this. Jennifer went and she got a full time job teaching school at Grayson Elementary. We needed to be on her insurance.
Yep.
And so. It was super stressful because I'm trying to get the church started. She's teaching school. She's in graduate school getting her master's in school counseling.
Dang.
The kids are playing sports.
Yeah.
You know, both kids are playing sports. And so they're...
Dad ain't making no bread.
Yeah.
I mean...
And it's like, and we were kind of heading in different directions. You know, because
you and her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we weren't working... Like right now, we're working at the church together.
It's
like,
easy.
Like, well, it's easy. But then... The church couldn't afford my salary, much less another salary.
So, some of the things? Like, how do we connect more? Like, how do we stay? How did you navigate? Because that's two different lives you're living.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're living your life, she's living her life, and there's a lot of people across the country that are doing that. Like, they do you, they do me.
And I don't think you realize at first how busy you are. I mean, we didn't have time for date nights. We didn't prioritize those things. And so, I mean, someone starting a new business, like starting a new church, like starting a new business, like you're just,
you got to put
90 hours a week doing everything you possibly can, lunches,
it's
breakfasts,
gotta succeed.
Dinners.
It has to succeed. There's no plan B. Like this has to work.
Like this is it. And at the same time, she's teaching school. She's got her friends at school. She's online getting her master's. Like we were kind of heading in different directions. Then you throw in the kids, like,
and their schedules.
They're all playing. You know, they were playing sports. We're at the ballpark. You know, there was no working out. You know, it was like, and I look back on it now, I should have prioritized more of these things. But you kind of justify. You're at the ballpark 4 or 5 nights a week. You're going out to. You're eating fast food on the way or afterwards.
That goes back to the, I got to be selfish in the morning so I can be selfless the rest of the day.
So that was a season in our life where, hey, this isn't working. We've got to get on the same page. But yep. I think all couples go through these difficult seasons of life. I mean, looking back on it, like now it's like, hey, we just spent a week in La Jolla, California.
It was fantastic.
You know, celebrating 30 years, you know, and the kids are grown.
Like, yeah.
Like
you get more time with mama now.
For the most part, yeah. And so it to me, it's going to get nothing but better. And then we're about to move into the grandkid stage and all that. But I think you brought up a good point earlier. We had to recalibrate. And I think, you know, the person, especially, you know, you and Lindsay, what was she like? Ninth grade or something when y'all first started dating?
Yeah, 10th, basically.
I mean, you are not the same people at age 24 as you were at age 17.
Married at 19, and then kids at 21, like.
Yeah. So I think that for all couples, there's this constant kind of recalibrating,
which
rethinking.
If you don't know where you're at, how do you know where you're going to go? And I think that's the biggest thing, that the best advice I would give someone, that I just take inventory, you know, like really take inventory of where you're at. Like, you know, what is, are we connecting well? You know, like is my marriage going the direction I want my marriage to go? And there's some surveys that you can do too. Like there's some awesome questionnaires that you can sit down with your spouse and do every year, like, and kind of take inventory. But like, is this the marriage I want? You know, and it, what needs to change? And then I've got to be willing to change, because that's the big word to me. Like a marriage is all about change. Like we're going to change so much, and we're either going to change together or we're going to change separate. And if we change separate, it's not going to work. If we keep changing in different directions, we're in deep trouble. But if we change and we re-identify, because that's the thing, our identity changes. You said about me in the NFL, I was a football player. Well, that identity's gone. Bam. Okay. Now what's next? What's next in your life? Like, what's important to you? What are you going to chase? Do you have somebody that's going to support you and chase with you? Right? Because we're going in a different direction. And those conversations aren't easy. And I understand that at home, like, they're going to be contentious. And like, but what does our family stand for? What do we want to be? Those are questions. And those are things that if we get still with and we really understand where I want to go, now I can put a plan together to be successful. But if you just live and you just go and you just don't think about it, I think it's really hard to be successful. Mm-hmm. Like, in any avenue, in your business you're planning, if you're just like, hey, you know, we're going to show up on Sunday and we'll figure it out. Like, the church would suck.
Yeah.
You would have no church. Like, your business, if you do that, you're probably going to suck at some point. Like, it's not going to go the way you want to go. And so those are simple things, and it sounds really, really simple, but you got to do them together to figure out together how we succeed.
You have to live by design and not by default. And I think having family values, like what are our family values? What's most important to us? And even, you know, at least once a year, kind of setting some goals. What do we want to accomplish as a married couple? What do we want to accomplish as a family? And I think back at different times where we really just had to sit down and figure some things out. I mean, finances is a huge thing. I remember when Jolyn and Julia, our two older kids, when they were about to go off to college, we had to figure out how are we going to pay for, like, how are we going to pay for them to go to college?
What got to go?
Like, we've got to figure this out. I remember us having this meeting and writing stuff down on paper and like, okay, how can we make this work? And what a huge accomplishment, you know, to get them both through college and have it paid for, you know. So there's different. I have a huge list of things here. We may be out of time on the marriage.
No, we got time. We got time. We got another 10 minutes or so.
Just potential things to help the marriage last a lifetime. So one of the guys in my discipleship group was talking the other day, and he was talking about he and his wife praying together. And that hit me hard, because Jennifer and I have not been like praying together, like out loud, like more than just like
dinner and meals
and all that. And it just hit me hard. And so I've been trying to prioritize us just sitting down, like, how can I pray for you? What do you want me to pray for you? And so,
by the way, you think your spouse knows that you really care about her when she knows you're asking for prayer requests? And I think with your kids, you should do that too. Like, how can I pray for you? Like, it's what a powerful way. And do it, obviously. Don't just text it or don't just ask. Like, actually do it. But what a powerful way to say, like, I care about you. I want to advocate to the Father for you. Like, how can I do that? Yeah. How can I serve you, basically?
And the crazy thing is, I felt like the biggest idiot in the world, because a few weeks ago, I just sat down with Jennifer. Hey, I want us to pray together. How can I pray for you? She told me different things. And then I prayed for her. And it was so incredible. And I thought, what an idiot I am for not doing this more. And so a couple of weeks ago, so then a few days later, so I'm going to do it again. So it was funny, because Jennifer thought I was just praying for her because she was sharing the message on Sunday. But I was viewing as, now I'm praying not just for the message, but I'm praying for everything. And so she was kind of like, land the plane, bro. Like, I was just going on and on and on. And in her mind, I was just praying over her for Sunday. And so she was like, when I finished praying, she was like, land the plane, bro. Like,
I get that. I get that from my wife too. My wife, like, it's interesting. And everybody's faith is different. And I will argue this goes back to how you were raised and what your relationship is with God and what you were comfortable with, right? Like, my wife likes to pray herself. She's got a prayer journal. Like, she's a prayer warrior. Like, she's got a system, and she likes to do it herself. Like, she wants to have that relationship with God. Like, she doesn't want me to pray together with her all the time. Like, she would rather pray by herself at night to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And so I pray by myself at night to go to bed. Like, that's what she's always been like that. And that's how, what she prefer. And that's okay. Like, we do pray together in other situations, but like, mm-hmm. she just prefers that. So it is knowing your partner and, you know, what they want and what their relationship is, but praying for them, you don't need it. I don't need clearance, and I don't need to do it out loud for her. Like, and I would say, especially with my situation, like I've told my wife so many times, I've never prayed for you this much, like never. And it's just awesome. Just know every day, like I'm praying for you every single day. Like,
yeah, the number one thing I wrote when we were talking about this, thinking about doing this episode, how we're going to be married for the long haul and have a thriving marriage. The first thing I put down is each person, husband and wife, they need to have a personal walk with God. Like, each person on their own is spending time with God, spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word. And the whole idea, like the old Jerry Maguire movie, You Complete Me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. Like, God is the one.
What about who, you had me at hello?
God is the.
was that work?
I think that worked.
Okay.
And Jennifer's probably swept off her feet.
You had her at hello?
But God's the one who completes us.
Yeah.
Not our spouse. And so having your own personal relationship with God and getting back to your buddy's situation, I mean, he's got to have his relationship with God. And hopefully one day his wife will have her relationship with God.
What I'll say about that is, I think as a human, and as most of the world will tell you, like, I think most of the world is going to live in a way like, all right, priorities. I think the families a lot of times is kids, and then the spouse, like, and then God sometimes. Like, it's not a normal thing, I don't think, to have that order. Like, and I will say, I know exactly when my wife really prioritized this and this hit home for her. It was when Jody passed. Like, I saw her walk grow so much, and I saw that her walk was the most important thing to her. And it became way more important than me. And it was different. Like, but I could see it, and it was awesome. It was spectacular. But it usually is going to take that. It's going to take some kind of furnace moment, some kind of something really, really hard. I think that's an easy thing to say, but it's a harder thing to do. Like, if you want to be a great spouse, like, again, if your relationship with God and you continue to pursue God, those are all things that are going to make you a better spouse. Every bit of it, right? Like, you're going to become more patient and kind, more humble, more self-reliant on God than yourself. You're going to know how to apologize. You're going to know how to, like, try to fix things. And so I think that is absolutely step number one, is prioritizing that relationship at all costs. You know, like, we got to make sure that one's numero uno.
I was just thinking about your life. It's like the times that you've grown the most spiritually, you and Lindsay, it's when it's in the difficult seasons of life. When you broke your neck, be still and know that I'm God. When you and Lindsay went through your marriage situation where y'all had to decide which direction are we going to go. Jody passing away, now the battling of cancer. I mean, it's like, man, it's like, and I think that's the case with a lot of people. It's like, I don't know why we have to go through these difficult seasons of life to draw us closer to God.
What is done in life that doesn't come with failure and difficult? Like, when you learn to walk, which is a big step in life, you fall and bust your face, and you get up and you walk. You get up and you walk. Like, everything about your life is always, like, your body gets germs and gets sickness, and your immune system gets stronger and it grows, right? Like, so I think without that, like, and again, so parents that want to protect, or, you know, marriages that want to protect and not fight and not have hard times, like, hard times is when it's going to stretch your character. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to make you become more dependent. It's going to push it's going to drive you into those areas that you couldn't have been in. So I think we should look at that as those opportunities. And that's not fun. Mm-hmm. It's not fun at all sometimes, but, you know, no sickness, no strength, you know, like, you're not developed and to have, you know, to be able to go through those times is always forging you and making you better and growing you. But a lot of times that's like, it's, we let it divide us, and we let it, why does this happen? Why does it do this? When all those things are meant for a reason, and you're going to see it, and it's going to, but it, you get to choose, right? Like, am I going to use this? Am I going to take this and really understand how it can be used for good and use the things that I need to work on, or else it'll break you, right?
Mm-hmm. What are some other topics that help a thriving marriage last a lifetime?
I think communication has been always been it's just so high on my list. I mean, you have to have, where is your spot? Like, where is your communication window? Where does it occur in your household? Like, you know, a lot for years for us, it's just been in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's been in that area. And then, you know, with me and Lindsay going to bed earlier and earlier, the older we get, like, in prioritizing sleep, it's more in the bedroom before we go to sleep, like just being able to talk and like, communication sets the expectations, and then those expectations, you have a chance to really be successful when you understand them. And so I always think communication is,
I think there's a
way up, I mean, there on the list.
Communication's a huge issue. Part of communication is resolving conflict, you know, when you, and understanding that your spouse isn't perfect. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. We're accepting each other's faults, communicating when if someone does hurt somebody else's feelings or rub somebody the wrong way, not holding it in, but getting it out in the open, communicating it. I think another thing is like managing schedules, managing calendars.
But that's communication,
like,
too.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like okay. That's a part of communication is, hey, I'm going to be out of town here. I'm going to be out of town there. I've got this. I've got that. Like understanding where each person's going to be and trying to work around the calendars and the schedules. And then you throw in the kids, like mm-hmm. who's taking the kids, you know, who's taking the kid here, there, you know, the whole like carpool
thing. And I think
thing.
When you can communicate well, I think the better you communicate, the better you love. And I say that because like, it took me a long time to realize, like, I'll be busy on the road, you know, doing the X, Y, and Z for work. And I just think about go, 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 do a good job, prepare, do a good job, prepare. Well, a lot of times I'm not even communicating with back home and what is she doing? What is she going through? How are the kids doing? Well, I come home and I'm hunky dory and everything's great. Well, I don't even know what happened in the weekend in my household. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. And so I think when we're communicating about the little things too, and the schedule and the kids and what's going on, like, where is my kid maybe struggling? Like, how was the day? You know, how was the night? What have you been doing? So a lot of y'all that are business minded and, you know, pursuing a career, like I remember when I started, like on the road, a lot of times I would just set an alarm on my phone and I would just, the alarm would go off and I'm like, okay. And it says, check on Lindsay. Like just to check on her and make sure that I'm plugging in, because I didn't do a great job of it all the time. I was just, mm-hmm. I'm doing mine. She's doing hers. Well, that's not enough. Like, because we're doing this thing together and we're supposed to know, and I can only serve her well when I know what's going on with her. And that's a part of communication.
Yeah. What's fascinating for Jennifer and I, is that, like, I look at you and Lindsay, like Lindsay's super organized and you're not the organized person, but she's kind of running it. She's in charge of like
everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Jennifer and I, neither one of us are organized. It's
Who's more organized?
I don't know. Neither one of us are very organized. Maybe me. I might be a little more organized than her. But it's kind of a miracle that
we get our bills. Podcast.
It's a miracle that we get our bills paid.
Are you ever late? Like, do y'all divvy up the bills? Do you have some bills and she has some bills, or do you do the bills? Or
she does it. She handles it.
Well, it's not a miracle. It's her.
No, but it's
so I would say she's more organized. Well, if she's the one that's handling the bills.
Now that everything's automated. It makes so it easier. Much better than having to write checks.
But
I think that's the whole issue with like who's handling the finances.
But that's usually the more responsible person.
She's definitely more responsible.
Okay, well, you just said you were.
Well, you asked who's more organized. Well, I think I might be a little more organized than her.
She's a
get it done person, but it's not necessary. It kind of gets done sloppy.
I don't think those go together. I think whoever's the more organized does the bills.
No, neither one of us are more organized.
I mean, I don't think you go, okay, but we're both not organized. I'm the least organized, so I'm going to handle the money that requires me paying bills and lights being on or not. That doesn't, That doesn't compute. I think she's more organized than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, maybe.
A less organized person sets up the auto pay for everything.
Yeah, who set up the auto pay? Did you set up the auto pay?
No, she did it.
So there's no part of this where you're more organized. Jennifer's in the car screaming at you listening to this.
She'll agree with me that she's not organized.
Yeah, but neither are you, obviously. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so that functions well together. Y'all just
like I said, it's a miracle.
But y'all do float.
That it gets done.
Y'all are floaters though. Like you're very much a floater. Like you can pretty much go along with whatever. Like there's not a lot that bothers you.
Yeah.
Now is Jennifer like that too, or
she's a little more
organized,
more high strung,
more attention to detail, and more organized.
Well, she plans all the trips. I mean, I just show up.
Is that organized, Wes, when you plan the trips? Like, I want you to realize
he's trying to rub me the wrong way.
I'm just telling you there's a theme here.
If you want to roll,
here.
I'll roll with you.
If you want to throw hands, I'll throw hands. Let's go.
If you're wanting to get on the mat, although I have no chance.
No, we don't
want
to do that.
I was thinking another thing. Of course, we talk about this all the time. Spouse more important than the kids. Quality time together.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot of walking together.
Yeah. I mean,
boundaries with the opposite sex.
I think
that's a huge thing.
Well, and I think that's something that evolves too, for sure. I wish I would have started that when I was younger. I think it would have saved any kind of issues whatsoever. But like, if you're newly getting into marriage and you don't have boundaries, like I would consider that for sure. And when I say that, like texting the opposite sex, like it's just very easy to put a spouse on it or to put mm-hmm. your spouse or your significant other. It just becomes normal. We went through a whole basketball season in eighth grade, a whole basketball season with me, the girls' basketball coach, this was 2 years ago, and Lindsay on a text feed. And there's a lot of watching tape, thoughts, like stuff that we're going to do the next game, things we're going to tweak. I mean, hundreds of text messages a week. But instead of me being with that girl, it's me, Lindsay, and that girl. Mm-hmm. And nobody thinks about it. You don't even think about it later on. But that can be an easy one that you, an easy non-negotiable that can keep you out of trouble. Because that you see so much in so many people just by texting can get yourself in trouble in lonely moments and different moments that... So that would be one I would say
that's
everybody
does. Super done. Simple marriage hack for anybody out there. Anytime you're texting someone of the opposite sex, just include their spouse or your spouse.
Yeah.
Or somebody else, but a third person.
Yeah. I mean, don't be weird and just put a random third person on there, but yeah, like somebody in the...
Next time I text Lindsay, I'm going to include Wes.
Yeah, just throw a rando on there. Hey, how you doing today? Everything good? We still on? What?
But, you know, like if we, the four of us are on the group text together with you
absolutely.
And Lindsay and me and Jennifer and, you know, so it'll that's a simple, I mean, that could save a marriage.
Okay. Absolutely.
That could say.
I'm gonna be the marriage. Best version of your wife here. So let's land the plane here.
You wanna land the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a huge list of things, but
I mean, you can run through some things really quickly if you want. Other things that are important, just do it quickly. I got to tell you that.
Yeah. Let me just run through a few things.
I thought you were organized over here.
I'm super organized.
Well, then go through.
I got a whole list. Healthy small group involvement. I think you need like-minded friends. We touched on that a little bit. Allow individual hobbies, like I play golf, Jennifer plays tennis, I work out.
Y'all bird watch together.
She bird watches.
By the way, I tell all the people that I know that are thinking about getting married and stuff, I'm like, listen, make sure your spouse is okay with, and that's a part of like them having their own relationship with God. Like they need their things. And you need your things. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's important.
Not everything needs to be together.
Right.
Like, we need
do
to
some
have,
things together, but you need to have your own life and your own hobbies
you
and
need,
your own
you
stuff
you need a reprieve
away.
From everything yeah. in this life.
Yeah.
Everything needs a reprieve. Everything needs to, like, abstinence makes the heart grow fonder. Like, you're a better parent when you get time away from your kids sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's always constant. But you're a better spouse, too, when you get time away and you mm-hmm. have hobbies that... like invigorate you, that fill your tank, that make you excited. Like golf for you, you love it.
Yeah.
Like you love golf, you like to compete, you love to get out there with people, you love to talk. Like I would argue that makes you a better version of yourself when you get home. Now listen,
100%.
That doesn't mean playing golf every day for 4 hours, 5 hours, while your wife's doing all the stuff with the kids. Yeah. That's a different conversation. Like, and there's different stages where golf will be more prevalent than not, but I do think the hobbies are so important for them to get time. And don't be that clinger. Like, let them have time. Let them build their time. Mm-hmm. Let them find things that they can plug into. And otherwise, I don't think you'll have as solid as a marriage as you want.
Amen to all of that. I think supporting each other in the difficult seasons of life, like...
Captain, this is your audience. Land the plane, please. Land the plane.
I'm trying to land... We need to go with like part three on this. This is...
You have a lot more?
Nah.
Okay.
We'll save it for another day.
It's just not real organized. Plane landed. Peace.
That was abrupt landing.